Praise God. We've been talking about faith for the last 4 weeks. And faith is important to our salvation. We receive the salvation of God, the Bible says, by faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, confess Him, and we will be saved. So there's a believing for our salvation. So the last 4 weeks, we've unfolded faith out of the book of Hebrews and spoke about each one of those listed there. Today we'll wrap up in part five of unshakable faith. Faith is important. Hebrews 11:1 says this, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your word. And Lord, even though we don't see You, we know that You are here. Your word says, where two or three are gathered in Your name, You're in the midst. Lord, we know that You're here. So by faith, Lord, we trust You. By faith, Lord, we read Your word. By faith, today we receive Your word. And Lord, by faith, I pray, Lord, that we will do Your word. Lord, speak to our hearts today. Draw us closer to You for Your glory. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. As we live a life of faith in our own human form, there are questions. We can think of all kind of questions. Ask questions. But our faith walk, we'll have times when there are unanswered questions. Questions aren't necessarily wrong as long as questions don't hinder our faith. And we see in the Bible of a story named Abraham. Abraham had unshakable faith, even when he had no answers. We can also have that faith. Hebrews 11:8 says, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going." The story of Abraham is given to us in Genesis chapters 12 through 25, the life of Abraham. And there's a lot to the life of Abraham. There's a lot to that. We're going to look at this one area today of Abraham's faith, and we're going to break down four principles of that today. But in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, "Now the Lord had said to Abram," Abram was Abraham's name before the Lord changed it to Abraham. "The Lord had said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you.'" God spoke to Abraham. Abraham was in a place to where it wasn't the place God wanted him to be. So God spoke to Abraham, gave him the instruction, and Abraham heard that instruction. So God wanted to bring him to another place. Took effort on Abraham's part to do that. God spoke to him. Aren't you glad that God's patience with us, His mercy, His grace with us, He speaks to us even when we're not necessarily where He wants us to be? Isn't that awesome? That God still loves us when we're lagging behind. He loves us when we're not comfortable with moving on. He speaks to us anyway. He spoke to Abraham. And Abraham had been sitting for many years in Haran, this town, and it was a long way from the place that God wanted him to be, Haran. I guess in South Georgia you can call it what you want to. Potatoes, potatoes, tomatoes, tomatoes. Could be that Abraham was comfortable where he was. Abraham was, he was fine where he was. He wasn't necessarily embracing change. Has anybody ever been there? You get comfortable. Life is good. Okay, it's not perfect, but I'm going to stay here. Abraham was there. Abraham was in Haran. And we don't know why Abraham was waiting there, but he was there. But the thing about where Abraham was that he found out that nothing new was going to happen as long as Abraham stayed in Haran. Nothing supernatural was going to happen while he was there. So God was calling him out. And the moment that Abraham decided to follow the instruction of the Lord is when the blessings of God begin to unfold. And we see in the story that things begin to happen for Abraham. Miracles begin to happen. I can hear somebody say now, "Yes, but why can't our instruction be a little easier? Why does it have to be so hard? Why does it have to be difficult?" Well, it's hard because it goes against our own flesh. It goes against what we want. Lord, do I have to do that? Do I have to do this thing? Why can't it be easier? Well, Jesus paid the price for our salvation by giving his life. And so we know that there's effort on our part to walk in faith. Genesis chapter 12, where we are, verses 1 through 7 says, "The Lord said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land where I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.' So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot was Abraham's nephew, went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed Haran. Then Abram took Sarai, his wife, later she was called Sarah, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions, and they gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh, and the Canaanites were there in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said," notice the progression of God's instruction were in sync with Abraham's obedience. See? Sometimes God's waiting on us before he gives us the next instruction. God's second instruction always follows the first. His third instruction always follows one and two. So the Lord appeared to Abram. "To your descendants," God said, "I will give this land." And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. Four principles to unshakable faith. Four principles that Abraham learned. Number one is to leave. Leave. Leave not in the sense that you think. Mike, are you telling me I've got to pack up my stuff and move? It's time to go to Taiwan, to Germany, to these foreign countries. There's nothing wrong with that, but that's not what I'm saying. In my early 20s, Crystal and I had been married for a few years. I was 18 and Crystal was 20. And so we got married and we started life early. And we had a little fuel that I feel like the Lord put in us to start early and to be busy in life. And so we were involved in the church. We were involved greatly in the church with music and the ministry, helping and serving in every way we could. So in the 20s, as a 15-year-old, I had experienced God at the altar. God's calling me and speaking to me. And he gave me a vision at 15 years old. So that had gone with me through my years. And then at 18 years old, I was given the news that I had 3 to 5 years to live. And so Chris and I, loving each other since I was 14 and she was 16, high school sweethearts, thought it was a great idea to get married. And so we got married. I was in my mid-20s. Life was rolling along and working hard, both of us working full-time and having Josh. And 2 years after we got married, and I felt that same feeling that I did at 15 years old, that calling. And so the first thing as a young man, the first thing I thought of, okay, I need to prepare Crystal. It's getting ready. It's getting time to, we got to move. You think calling of God, you're going to be taken somewhere. You can't stay in your hometown, for heaven's sake. There's no way you can stay where you were raised to serve God and to fulfill God's calling. And so I thought in my heart, well, it's time to move on. So I began to call ministers that I had been raised up in and raised up around, men that I had trusted, and called and said, "I need to talk to you. The call of God's on my life. I need to find out where I need to move to, where I need to go." And so the instruction I got from this pastor, this dear, dear man of God, he said, "Well, Mike, you first need to do some studying of the Word of God." And I didn't agree with that. Why do I need to study the Word of God? I'm called, so I need to move somewhere and do. And so God began to settle me down, teach me in my 20s that I need to stay put, stay grounded. Well, many times we feel that when God is calling us and feeling that spirit of stirring in our, it's very much real, but we interpret it in different ways. We interpret it differently than what God is speaking to us. I will say that walking by faith, we cannot stay where we are. Walking by faith, we cannot stay where we are in that comfort zone, in that state of complacency. Faith is not active when we're in our comfort zone. Well, that's safe there. That's what I know. That's exactly the point. Faith is outside of what we know. Faith is outside of our complacency. Faith works outside of what we're familiar with. And where people get confused and people get off track when they sense this presence of God, this anointing and this calling on their life, they decide to pick up and go because that's the first thing that they know they need to do. But God first deals with our heart before he deals with our location. See, in my 20s, God had a work to do here. What in the world good would it have done for me to move to Tokyo, to minister to China, to Darien, wherever, to minister until I first allowed God to work here? So when we feel that calling, when we feel that stirring in our hearts, God is doing something in us, and it's time to leave. It's time to leave the old habits. It's time to leave the complacency. It's time to leave the old thinking. It's time to leave that comfort zone. God's bringing us out of that place of familiarity so that he can bring us into a place of blessing. A place of blessing is never where we're familiar with. It's never where we're comfortable with. That's the way faith is. Genesis 12:1, we just read, "Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you." Now, it's interesting that it seems that the instruction of God was out of order. It was reversed. Get out of your country, from your family, and from your house. Normally, if we take a trip, we're going to go somewhere, whether it's out of town or out of state or even out of the country, we first leave our house. And then we leave our neighborhood, we leave the family, we leave family surrounding, we leave, you know, if our children were our next door neighbors, we leave them. So we leave our house, we leave our family, we leave our city or state or country. But it's the exact opposite of what we've just read here in Genesis 12:1. It's interesting that when we see a reverse in the Word of God like this, he's talking not about our physical, but about our spiritual. So there's a spiritual meaning here. There's a spiritual sense that God was dealing with Abraham's heart and not his geographical location. Now, of course, it involved that, and it may at some point in time involve our geographical location too. In our case, Chris and I, we've been here all of our life, born, raised right here. We graduated from school right here. We've been here. We've raised two children here. Never, ever lived anywhere else. And so, but God had to do a work in my heart to bring me to where I am today, whether it was here, whether it was anywhere else. And so God is talking about doing something in our heart. He's talking about a spiritual work and not a physical work as much. See, God looks at our heart. God looks first at our heart. He wants my heart right with him first before my location changes. He can work the location. Did you know that God can use you on St. Simon's just as much as he can use you in San Francisco, Dallas, Texas, Utah, Michigan? He can use you, but our heart has got to be right first. There's got to be a work done here before he can use me anywhere. And so the leaving that God is speaking to us today, it's not that we go out and look and hunt and we're blind and we don't know where we are. Well, God told me to leave. Yeah, God told you to leave. Leave the stuff that's holding you back, that's hindering you. Sometimes we can talk ourselves right out of the blessing of God. God, you told me to leave. Yes, listen. I'm telling you to leave those things that are holding you back. Leave those things that are hindering your life. Not the very blessing that he's blessed you in that you will grow from. Well, I don't like this about that. I don't like this about that. I don't like this about that. Sometimes God uses people and things and places to chop the corners off just a little bit, and that's not a fun process. He's looking for a heart right with him. It's a spiritual journey more than a physical journey. God's work is in our heart. So God spoke to Abraham. Leave. There's a work going on. Leave that thing. There were things that were holding Abraham back. And so God used that time to move Abraham out of that. Because there was a place that Abraham found out later that he could not do what he did where he was at. Let me say that there's something that God wants to do in our life, each and every one of us, individually and corporately, that he's wanting to do, that there are some things that we've got to let go of before he can do it. There's some leaving of things that we've got to do. But please don't misunderstand God. He's not going to change your address until he changes your heart. It could be relationships, past hurts, disappointments, job, finances. Well, God, you know, if I change jobs, that's my security. As long as it's not hindering you from experiencing God and from walking by faith. The second thing, second principle, is that we don't have to know where he's leading us. We don't have to know where. Questions of where can hinder us from moving forward with God. I've got to know where. I've got to know the destiny. I've got to know the destination. No, we don't have to know the destination. That's what faith is. Well, I'm not comfortable with that. We don't need to know where. Our destination isn't important when faith is present. And so God's bringing us to a place of trusting him that he doesn't give us all the answers. I don't know that in the Bible, and certainly not in my life, that God has called me to do something that I'm not sure that I had many answers. I had the answers of when, and then God showed me that after some time. He's working on my heart. And so if my heart becomes for him, then my tendency then is to do whatever it takes to follow him and to follow his instruction. And so the more faith we have in God, the more that he's doing in our life, the more we trust him with our future without having to know all the details. It says Abraham didn't know where. Hebrews 11:8, the last line. And Abraham went out not knowing where he was going. Abraham was a man of faith. Abraham, from the best I can read and tell in the study, is that he was wealthy enough. He had everything, so he wasn't leaving to further his life. It was a sacrifice for Abraham to leave. It's going to be a sacrifice for you to let go of some things and not know where you're going. There again, in the spiritual sense, God is taking you into a place of destiny in your walk with him, in your journey with him, that you will not necessarily know the end result. But know this, where God sends you, it will be a blessing. What God is taking you down, what journey God is taking you into, it will always be a blessing. Always. When our children were growing up, Josh and Jordan were growing up, we ever took a trip, they're in the back seat, we're driving along, how much longer? How much longer? They knew where we were going. I told them where we were going, so how much longer is it going to take? Where are we going? I know if Chris and I get in the car, we go jump in the car yesterday, the first thing she's going to know, if she didn't already know, where are we going? Where are we going? Just get in the car. I'm going to surprise you. No, I want to know where we're going. No, you don't. We're going somewhere. So with God, we say, well, God, where are we going? And he says, trust me. You don't need to know where we're going yet. But as we obey God, the progression of instruction grows with our action. He's going to tell you, but he needs you to trust him first. There's a time that he will tell you. There's a time of everything that he's doing in your life, it'll unfold. He's not second-guessing himself. He's not making plans as we go. Take a left up here. No, he already has it all planned out. He's waiting for us to get on the same page that he's on. Abraham didn't know where he was going. God always has a purpose. God had a purpose for Abraham. He was fulfilling the purpose. Had Abraham said, no, I'm not comfortable with this. I need to know all the details before I can plan to take all these people that I'm in charge of, 2,000 to 3,000 people possibly, belongings, everything that they had to do. It was quite a fiasco to get everything together. But Abraham asked no questions. That's what's so awesome. So God's vision always includes the provision. God's calling always includes everything that you need to accomplish it. But I need to know that. Well, you should know that. That's what faith is. God's calling is to bless you. God's calling also is for you to bless others. In the second verse of Genesis 12, I will make you a great nation, God told Abraham. I will bless you, make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. So God, what God is doing in your life is great and wonderful. It's a blessing. But he's also going to use you to bless others. Did you know that other people's lives are connected to you, and they watch and they glean from what God is doing in your life? Ephesians 2:10 says we are his workmanship, God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works. So God's not going to lead you astray and cause you to do bad works. Anything that God's leading you to is according to his plan, good works, which God prepared beforehand, all the way before you were ever thought of, beforehand, that we should walk in them. And so God has got these things planned for your life to be a blessing and to bless others. And the longer we wait, when God speaks to us, the longer we wait, the less likely we are to obey him. That's why Abraham moved. Now, Abraham had a time there where he was lagging, but God also came back and said, do this, and Abraham did it. See, delay in our lives dulls the conviction of the Holy Spirit in our life. Because we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, we're sensitive to God speaking to us, and the more we delay that, the more we deny that, the more we don't listen to that, the duller the conviction of the Holy Spirit is in our heart. We hear a muffled sound. In today's society, we call that selective hearing. None of you men here today are in that category. There are some outside of this church today that have that selective hearing situation. Need to be aware of it. And so sometimes we get that way with God. We get so caught up with what we want to do and making our plan fit with God till we tune in some things, we tune out other things. I'm surprised Crystal didn't say amen on that one. Praise God. Whew. Glad I got past that point. Surely God can't be telling me that. Surely God's not speaking that to me. Surely that's me. That's me saying that. Well, a good way to gear whether it's you talking or God talking, does it line up with God's word? Number one. If it lines up with God's word, if it's profitable for God, if it brings glory to God, it's God. The devil's certainly not going to tell you something to give glory to God, and it's certainly not going to line up with the word of God. So some things that we think and God speaking to our heart, we second guess because, God, you surely can't be, you don't think that highly of me. You don't trust me with that. There's no way you could be speaking that to me. More than likely, God is going to speak some things to you that you think are beyond your ability to do. God is good about that. But Abraham obeyed God without knowing where he was going. Number three, God's promises are to encourage us. God's promises are to encourage us. God made promises to Abraham, and that promise, as long as Abraham was looking at that promise, it was encouragement for Abraham to continue on with the Lord. Now, it's not a carrot. Say, come this way. You get the carrot in a little bit. Go fetch it. It's not, God's not using the carrot, the blessing, the promise to get us to go along, but it's a promise to us that God uses to encourage us so that we know God's hand of anointing and blessing and provision is upon our lives. And there's not one of you breathing today that doesn't have the blessing of God, the provision of God, and the calling of God upon your life. We have to submit to that. But there's a calling. There's a purpose. There's a reason. And God is promising you. We've got an entire word of God. I think Pastor Liggett said something like there's a promise for every week, or maybe a promise for every single day that Pastor Ligon had researched and has a list of those promises. There are promises all throughout the Word of God. The promises of God are there to encourage us. And many times we get focused on the work more than we focus on the promise. We focus more on the task that I've got to do more than we focus on the blessing of God. That's our human tendency. We look at the negative rather than the positive. Well, let's take worst case scenario. Has anybody ever heard that? Crystal said, yeah, you said that last week. There's some things in life that even my go-to is, okay, I know we're here, but what about worst case scenario? So we look at this. God says, no, come on now. If God's involved in it, it's a blessing. It's best case scenario. God's going to cause it to work out. And so if our tendency is to look at what about this, what about the worst part, what about the work, what about all of this, rather than the blessing of God, then we'll never be encouraged to push through and to press into what God's trying to do in our life. There was a lot of negative things about Abraham picking up and leaving and going all those hours away. And he didn't have a Tesla back then. He didn't have a cell phone. He didn't have a GPS. He didn't have a Wendy's. You know, there was a lot to this trip. There was a lot to moving. So if we look at the blessing of God, we say, well, why can't it be easier for me to get the blessing of God? There's something that God wants to do in our life to bring us to a place of trusting him like we never have before, because the blessing that he has prepared for you is something greater than you've ever experienced. That goes for you individually, goes for your family, goes for your job, goes for your work, goes for our church, goes for our country. If we look at the difficulty, if we look at the limitations, then we're not looking at God's promise. God's promise is to encourage us. God gave one command to Abraham. God gave one command to Abraham, and he gave him 8 promises. That speaks something of our God. In verse 2, we just read, I'll make you a great nation, God said. Verse 2 again, he said, I will bless you. Second promise. The third promise in verse 2, I'll make your name great. The fourth promise, I'll make you a blessing in verse 2. The fifth blessing in verse 3 was, I will bless those who bless you. Isn't that awesome? And verse 6, just as awesome, is he told Abraham, I will curse those who curse you. If anybody comes against you, I'll take care of it. See, that's a promise alone that many of us need to have today. People that are coming against you, that are cursing you, that are scrutinizing you, that are criticizing you, we think sometimes it's our responsibility. Okay, listen, when I see them, I'm going to tell them a head full. No, that's not our place. We can have peace in knowing that God's going to take care of those who curse us. We don't have to worry about it. He told Abraham, I'll curse those who curse you. Seventh promise in verse 3 was, all people on earth will be blessed by you. Then the 8th promise, to your offspring, I will give the promise. I'll give this land. All these 8 promises, God gave one command. We need to remember the promises of God daily. If we soak our minds in God's promises, then when we come to those places that we have a decision to make, then it creates our tendency to follow God and not to follow our human tendency. I don't know if I have the strength to do that. I don't think I have the ability to do that. I don't think. And so we get into that place to where we doubt God because we don't remember his promise. God's promise outweighs anything that we've got to give up. God's promise outweighs anything that's contrary to us receiving it. We must remember God's promises every day. Read this, pray, study, listen to it. If there's anything taking you away from the God's promises, cut it off, leave. And the fourth, last principle to unshakable faith is worshiping God strengthens our faith. Worshiping God strengthens our faith. Doubting God destroys our faith. The more we second guess, the more we doubt, the more we are hindered by the obstacles, the red tape, the change, the leave, it destroys our faith. But worshiping God strengthens our faith. How did Abraham keep his faith strengthened? How did Abraham? Abraham had to have had strong faith. I mean, super strong faith. How? Because he was constantly building altars to God and worshiping God. Abraham was constantly building altars to God. God was Abraham's strength. So who is our strength today? Yes, rest is good, and you know how I feel about rest. Rest is good. Taking care of yourself, vitamin C, all these things are good. Do what you're supposed to do. Eat right most of the time. All these things are good. But God is our strength. God is our source. When we're weak, he is strong. How can we do all things except through Christ who gives us our strength? And see, God has promised Abraham and Sarah children. They didn't even give up on that when the Bible says that their bodies were beyond the ability to reproduce. It was history. There's no way that anything could be done for Abraham and Sarah to have children. But God promised. And Abraham trusted God and stood on that promise. How? Romans 4:20 says, Abraham did not waver at the promise of God. He did not waver. He goes on to say, through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith. Look at this. Giving glory to God. He kept his faith in God when it didn't even make sense. It wasn't possible. It didn't make sense. It was impossible. Everything was stacked against them having children. But what did Abraham do? He didn't waver. His faith was strengthened as he gave glory to God. We must worship God in order to continue in our faith. What about, when will I ever see my promise? When will I ever see my promise? I remember, we hadn't been pastoring here long, and January 1st, 2010, and maybe have been sometime in 2010, maybe sometime 2011. And this dear lady came to me, and she said, Pastor Mike, I've got this land, I've got this piece of property, and that we've had it for years, and if we don't sell this thing, I don't know what we're going to do. The taxes are eating us up, and we've got to get this land sold. She said, will you pray? And I said, yes, I will pray. And I felt like the Lord spoke to me about taking a bottle of oil out to the property. So I drove out there one afternoon. I said, I can meet you out there so-and-so afternoon. She said, yes, that will be wonderful. Thank you so much. So we drove out there, and I took that bottle of oil, and I walked the street that fronted that land. And I couldn't necessarily walk on it without some boots up to my hips, because it was, you know, a little wet and rough and snakes and all that kind of stuff, thick, wooded area. Somebody would have had to known what that property could have been in order to even make an offer on it, much less want to purchase it, but it was in a prime location. So I walked the street front, dropping oil, and we prayed. She stood by the car, and she prayed, and I emptied that bottle of oil out on the front road of that property there, and we prayed and continued to pray. And that was, well, we've been here 12 years now, pastoring. That property's just sold in the last few months. You say, well, Mike, why didn't God make that property sell the next day when you anointed it? Because he wants us to believe for his promise even when we don't see the answer. We've got to continue in our faith. We've got to continue worshiping God. What do we do all these years? We thanked God that it was sold. That's what we did. Said, God, we thank you that property is sold. Well, when is it going to sell? I don't know. But we know that God will cause that property to sell, and it's now sold. It's done. And it's taken all these years. Well, was God looking for the right buyer? God was wringing his hands, and he was worried and concerned. He said, oh, man, Mike prayed for this, and I've got... No, God was not worried at all. But God was doing something in my heart, causing me to not waver in my faith by having my faith strengthened to continue to worship him and to thank him that it was done. Isn't that the same way it is in our lives? There's some of you today that's praying and believing and pressing in, and some things you've prayed for years. I talked to one lady years ago that it took over 20 years for her grandson to come to the Lord. But she never stopped praying for her grandson. There are some things in your life that you're on the verge of giving up on, but God said, don't give up. It's time to make an altar. It's time to give glory to God even when you don't see it happening. Well, what good is that going to do? It's going to strengthen your faith. It's going to cause you to trust God. It's going to cause you to not be surprised when it happens, because you're going to say, yep, there it is. There it is. See, I knew it was going to happen 10 years later, 12 years later, 20-some years later. God's going to cause things to happen. God's not going to hold back his promise. I could hinder receiving it because I don't believe it. But God's word will be fulfilled. We must remember that God will fulfill every promise that he has spoken. Every promise God will fulfill. Abraham's faith was strengthened. The situation was impossible. He didn't see it. He didn't know the details of it when he would receive it. That's how great Abraham's faith was. He knew that what God said he would do, he would do. Sometimes it takes all the faith we can to do the things that we know we're supposed to do, much less to do the things that we don't know we're supposed to do. But God wants to give us that faith. See, Abraham left his comfort zone. He didn't know where he was going. He remembered God's promise, and he made an altar before he received the promise. It says in verse 7, Genesis 12, then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And look what Abraham did. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. Abraham built an altar. He gave glory and praise to God. He said, God, I don't know how it's going to happen. And then before he went into Canaan, all of these soldiers were there. And here little Abraham is with his 2,000 or 3,000. He still didn't see how it was going to happen, but God said, I promised this to you. So Abraham praised God because he knew that God would keep his word. In early 2011, so we came in 2010. 2011, Jordan had been in Dallas, Texas at Christ for the Nation, and she was there, and a good friend of mine, good buddy of mine, had passed away. And so Jordan was going to fly home to be there for my buddy's daughter, who they were the same age. And as Jordan got home that day, she began to have a headache. The next day, her headache was worse. She was with her friend on that Friday. By that Saturday morning, she woke up with an excruciating about 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning where she couldn't stand. She couldn't even stand it. So I was studying that Saturday morning, and I told Crystal, I said, we'll go and take her to the hospital. They took her to the hospital, did a scan, found out there was a tumor. And so they had to air flight her from Brunswick Hospital in a helicopter to Atlanta, to Emory. As they began to find this out there that morning, that Saturday morning at the hospital, Crystal said, you got to get here now. So I did. I got to the hospital. I was in the room when they were doing the MRI on Jordan, and they stopped in mid and said, Mr. Murray, where would you like us to take Jordan? To Shands in Gainesville or to Emory in Atlanta? And I'm saying, okay, you need to concentrate on this test right here, right now. And they came back. I didn't answer them because I was lockjaw. I was stunned. I mean, what are you asking me? Came back again, Mr. Murray, we need an answer now. Is it Shands or is it Emory? Because of my experience at Emory, because of my heart, there back in 1984, I said Emory. And so they pulled Jordan out of the unit, put her into a room, turned the lights off. So we got to keep it quiet in here. We found there's a tumor, and it could bust at any moment. And so they arranged the helicopter, arranged Emory, and they air flighted her out. And I called the elders and said, I can't be there tomorrow. I'm going to be in Atlanta. And Chris and I couldn't get in the helicopter. It was a nurse, Jordan, and the pilot in that helicopter. And we ran home and got clothes, got on the interstate, and I think we were about 30 minutes behind the helicopter getting into Atlanta. And I called a policeman, a friend of mine, and said, I got to get to Atlanta quick. He said, turn on your flashers and call me if you need me. And so that's what I did. And we got there 30 minutes after the helicopter got there. By that Thursday, Jordan was being prepared for surgery. And I'll never forget this. That week was quite eventful. It was end of March. And beginning of April. And as we were there preparing for surgery that Thursday, one of only a handful of doctors in the country would do the surgery, and it was endoscopy, where they drill a hole in her head and they pull it out piece by piece as best they can. Made no promises. They said, we don't know what's going to happen. It's got to come out. They had another hole that was drilled when they got her there Saturday night to drain the fluid off of her head, causing the pressure. And so she had to lie still in that bed. And if she moved, there was an alarm that would go off. But they had to maintain a certain level of fluid in her head without causing damage. So that began Saturday night. They got the fluid down. The doctor was out of the country, got in Thursday. And I remember as they were rolling Jordan back to the surgery room, surgery that we had no idea what was going to happen, didn't know how she was going to come out. They made no promises to us. They said, all we can do is do this and hope for the best. We prayed. Many of y'all prayed. But as Jordan was being rolled to the bed, she had her hands up in the air singing, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." After several hours of surgery that day, Crystal and I walking around and keeping our eyes on God, saying, God, we know that you're in this. We know that you're going to do what you said you would do. She came out of surgery. And the next day, that Friday, they began to put different colors in front of her and ask her different questions, and to the extent that she knew what they were doing and was kind of catching them off guard. And if you know Jordan, she's perfectly normal today, these years later, with two beautiful children and a husband, and sings and worships and finished her degree, and God's using her mightily. I said all that to tell you this, that if we trust God, even when we don't see the result, God will bring the blessing. God never fails. God will never turn his back on you, no matter how difficult it is, no matter how impossible it looks. God is wanting our faith to increase. God is not finished. God is not finished. As a matter of fact, God is getting ready for a ramp up. God is getting ready. He's trying to bring his people in to sharpen us so that we can believe him for the impossible. There's so much that we're on the verge of seeing God do that I can't comprehend it myself. That I believe that God is stirring. He's putting things together. He's doing some things in your life and my life. And we've just got to trust him. Things that make no sense to us, he's got it all taken care of. So I want us to stand this morning. Crawford, come on up. I want us to stand. You may want to do that song again. I want you to leave today with your faith encouraged. I want you to leave here today believing God and trusting God for anything. What God promised, he will deliver. There are some areas in your life that you sense that God is moving, that God is doing something. And don't put your eyes on anything except but God. Put your eyes on God. Watch Holy Spirit move. He will bring it to pass. But we've got to do what Abraham did. We've got to build an altar. We've got to glorify God. We've got to praise God. We've got to worship God, because that's where our strength will come from. That's where our increased faith will come from, because we can believe him and trust him for anything. Some of you, it's family. Some of you, it's sickness. Some of you are watching right now and you say, Mike, I've got to have a miracle. I know that, but we've got to know that God is the God of miracles. God is bigger than cancer. God is bigger than a tumor. God is bigger than corona. God is bigger than anything and everything. God is bigger than anybody. Come on. God is bigger than anybody. God is bigger than any situation. God wants you encouraged today. God wants you to know that he can put things back together that maybe were falling apart. God can reconcile some things today that have been busted up. God will also tell you today that there's some things that you need to release, that you need to leave, because those things are hindering you and holding you back. And you know exactly what those things are. What has God promised you today? What has God promised? That's the team to lead us in worship. Let's stand in the presence of the Lord. If you want to come stand right here, it's open. You come stand right here. I want us to worship God for the next few moments.